Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Michael Lofton Show on Reason and Theology. I want to review the article that Cardinal Mueller recently wrote, where he puts forward a dissenting opinion in public against Christ's magisterium. He very blatantly and openly contradicts it and publicly dissents against it. And I would like to not only review the document itself, but I would also like to briefly remind everyone of what the magisterium says about this spiritual crime of public dissent. But before we get started, let's start with an Our Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me remind you that what the Cardinal has done here is a spiritual crime. According to Pope Pius X, it is grave sin, to use his words. So this is serious stuff. And some of these bishops and cardinals have gotten into the habit of engaging in this grave sin. And I think it's important that we remind ourselves that that is what the church calls it. This is, of course, from Pope St. Pius X on the Bible against the modernists. Okay. So here's what the Hammer of Heretics tells us. Wherefore, we find it necessary to declare and to expressly prescribe. And by this our act, we do declare and decree that all are bound in conscience to submit to the decisions of the biblical commission relating to doctrine, which have been given in the past and which shall be given in the future, in the same way as to the decrees of the Roman congregations approved by the Pope. Now, let me remind you once again, the document that recently came out, Fiducia Supplicans, that Cardinal Mueller publicly defies and dissents against, is obviously from a Roman congregation approved by the Pope. And here Pope Pius X says, you cannot do this. And not only that, he says, nor can all those escape the note of disobedience or temerity, and consequently of grave sin, who in speech or writing, such as Cardinal Mueller's article, contradicts such decisions, which he explicitly does. And this, besides the scandal they give, notice it's Cardinal Mueller's public dissent that is causing scandal, and the other reasons for which they may be responsible before God and for other temerities and errors, which generally go with such contradictions. And not only this, but you also have Humani Generis and Donum Veritatis that confirm this. And so the point is, before we even address the issue of what Cardinal Mueller has said, right out of the gate, it needs to be said that this is grave matter. No cardinal, no bishop is in the position to publicly dissent and write against what the Holy See has decided. And that is explicit. And that even applies to Roman congregations and their teachings approved by the Roman pontiff, which this was just that. And Cardinal Mueller should know this, since he is the former head of the very congregation that he is now fighting against. And let me remind you, it is not that he is fighting against this papacy alone. And he is not fighting against persons. Pope Francis, or Cardinal Fernandez. He is fighting against Christ's church and Christ's teaching authority and the voice of Christ. Those are not my words. Those are the words of Pope Pius XII. I'll remind you. Let's look at it again in Humani Generis. Nor must it be thought that what is expounded in encyclical letters does not of itself demand consent. So we're talking about non-infallible acts of the papal magisterium. Since in writing such letters, the popes do not exercise the supreme power of their teaching authority, right? It's non-infallible, or it's non-definitive, I should say, or irreformable teachings. For these matters are, or I should say reformable teachings, for these matters are taught with the ordinary teaching authority, of which it is true to say, he who heareth you heareth me. Wait, hold on, what? For non-infallible acts of the magisterium, reformable teachings, he who heareth you heareth me applies to them? You'll recognize that is a quote from Jesus. He who heareth you heareth me. And that is applied to non-infallible acts of the papal magisterium, such as fiducia supplicans. And so when Cardinal Mueller opposes the teaching publicly, he is publicly opposing the voice of Jesus Christ on earth in the magisterium. This is serious stuff. And we have gotten so used to hearing from cardinals and bishops doing this very thing that we think it's normal. It's not normal. Public dissent against the magisterium has always been grave matter, and that is unanimously taught by the manualists. And Vatican II confirms that in its acts. Still applicable to today. How could it not be? And not only that, it says, and generally what is expounded and inculcated in encyclical letters already, for other reasons, appertains to Catholic doctrine. Now watch this. But if the supreme pontiffs in their official documents purposely pass judgment on a matter up until that time under dispute, such as what just happened with fiducia supplicans, right? It is obvious that that matter, according to the mind and will of the pontiffs, cannot be any longer considered a question open to discussion among theologians. It is not open for debate. It is not open for discussion. Pius XII notes in his magisterium, you are not allowed to do this because what you're doing is you're opposing the voice of Jesus Christ. There are very rare instances that Donum Veritatis would allow a highly trained theologian to withhold intellectual assent from a reformable teaching. But that is not the same as public dissent against that teaching. Privately withholding assent in rare cases and publicly dissenting against the magisterium are two different things. Donum Veritatis once again reiterates what I've been saying and what these previous documents say. So this is still applicable. It is still grave matter. Now, look at this in paragraph 30. In cases like these, the theologian should avoid turning to mass media, but have recourse to the responsible authority. Now, what Cardinal Mueller does is instead, he resorts to mass media. Mass media to post his public dissent. He has not limited himself to the prescription of the document, which is to have recourse to the responsible authority. Who was the responsible authority? Pope Francis and or Fernandez. And he has access to both of them. He was literally on video with Pope Francis 2 days ago. He has access to them. If he has concerns with the document, and a man in his position who can directly approach the Pope or the current prefect for the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, he is to resort and have recourse to them, not to mass media. For it is not by seeking to exert the pressure of public opinion that one contributes to the clarification of doctrinal issues and renders servite to the truth. And then, paragraph 33, dissent, which is a bad thing. Dissent has different aspects. In its most radical form, it aims at changing the church following a model of protest, which takes its inspiration from political society. Does that not describe the dissenters in the Catholic Church today? They think that they can publicly oppose the Catholic magisterium because they seem to think Catholicism is a democratic society. More frequently, it is asserted that the theologian is not bound to adhere to any magisterial teaching unless it is infallible. We've heard that once or twice, right? Haven't we? Oh, well, you know, it's not infallible, so I can ignore it. I don't have to accept that. Well, the magisterium says that's called dissent. Thus, a kind of theological positivism is adopted according to which doctrines proposed without exercise of the charism of infallibility are said to have no obligatory character about them, leaving the individual completely at liberty to adhere to them or not. The theologian would accordingly be totally free to raise doubts or reject the non-infallible teaching of the magisterium, particularly in the case of specific moral norms. With such critical opposition, he would even be making a contribution to the development of doctrine. It does not affirm this approach. It calls this dissent. And it says, yeah, they're trying to do it under this guise, under the guise of it's not infallible, under the guise of I'm contributing to the church. No, it is forbidden. In very rare cases, you can privately withhold dissent, but you cannot publicly promote dissent. But if you have concerns, you have recourse to the responsible authority. In Mueller's case, that would be directly going to the Holy Father or at least the current head of the dicastery for the doctrine of the faith. So to reiterate, Pius X says what he is doing is grave sin. Humani Generis says he cannot do this, should not be public. Donum Veritatis confirms that. It is not to be public, but rather he should express his concerns privately. So I don't have an issue with Cardinal Mueller having concerns about the document. It's fine. If they're asked in, you know, questions and concerns and they're raised in a spirit of docility and humility, there's nothing wrong with that. But you raise them through the proper channels and you do not publicly dissent. Unfortunately, Cardinal Mueller has adopted the same method as the liberals, the German bishop liberals, and those who rejected Humanae Vitae specifically. What was their method and still is their method? A hermeneutic of rupture. You remember who spoke against the hermeneutic of rupture and said rather it should be a hermeneutic of reform? What's sometimes called a hermeneutic of continuity, even though the language Benedict used was hermeneutic of reform in his 2005 Christmas address, which I imagine Mueller was present for. So Benedict notes the hermeneutic of rupture is wrong, and we need to have this hermeneutic of reform or continuity, where instead of looking for rupture and tension between two magisterial teachings, we harmonize them. That's the duty of every Catholic. All the more, a cardinal, who used to be the head of the dicastery for the doctrine of the faith. But unfortunately, Cardinal Mueller has adopted the same tactics and same approach as the liberals who rejected Humanae Vitae and the German bishops who are currently in dissent against the Holy See. They approach these matters with public dissent, just like Cardinal Mueller. They also engage in this hermeneutic of rupture. just like Cardinal Mueller. Cardinal Mueller could have easily resolved the tensions found in Fiducia Supplicans in the 2021 document from the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith. He could have easily resolved them, because even guys like me can resolve them. How much more can someone as renowned as Cardinal Mueller resolve them? It's not hard. So he could have easily done so. Instead, he has adopted this wrong hermeneutic, the hermeneutic of suspicion, hermeneutic of rupture. And I just again want to reiterate, that's the same thing the liberals do. Both he, when traditionalists do this, and liberals, they're both wrong. Now, let's address the article itself. I was going to go through the whole thing line by line. Instead, I'm just going to limit myself to a few key points. Now, I would have expected more from a former head of the DDF. I did not find his critique very convincing. I think that a stronger criticism and a stronger critique could have been written about Fiducia Supplicans. I'm not going to encourage anyone to write it, because that would then violate everything I just said, and it's also not needed anyway. But I have to say, if you're going to write a critique, I would have expected it to have been better, more convincing, especially from a former head of the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith. I was very disappointed. Let me focus on just a couple points here. Let me pull up the screen so you can see this quote. Let's see. Okay. Here we go. He says, in point of fact, the last magisterial pronouncement on this matter was issued by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith in a response published in March 2021, less than 3 years ago, and it categorically rejected the possibility of blessing these unions. Notice the union is the object of the blessing in Cardinal Mueller's mind. This applies both to public blessings and to private blessings for people living in sinful conditions. Now, if you've read the document, and if you've watched any episodes of Reason and Theology lately, the problem here is already jumping out at you, right? What's the massive problem here? He indicates, not only here, but explicitly even elsewhere in this article, that the union itself is the object of the blessing in Fiducia Supplicans. So, the obvious problem with this is, if you go to Fiducia Supplicans, starting with paragraph 5, it states, reiterating the 2021 decision, which is the very thing that Mueller suggests is being violated. This is the very doctrine and very document that is reasserted in paragraph 5, which he does not engage in the article. He does not address that. And it states the church does not have the power to impart blessings on unions of persons of the same sex. And that is reiterated right here in Fiducia Supplicans. So what he is saying is directly contradicted by the document itself. In the very 2021 document that he says this current magisterial teaching is violating, is the very document that is reasserted in this magisterial statement. And he doesn't address that. That's really important, right? Since you explicitly have something that explicitly contradicts what you're asserting in your critique, you should at the least do something about that. At least quote it and say something. You have to account for that because it directly contradicts your point. Okay. And this is at the heart of his entire critique. His entire critique really rests on the assumption that the new document teaches that the unions of same-sex couples is blessed. But that is explicitly rejected in paragraph 5. And then paragraph 31 notes that it is persons who are being blessed because the object of the blessing is those are pronouns that refer to people, not relations. You would not call a relation, such as a same-sex union, a those or a who. Paragraph 31, when it speaks of blessing for couples of the same sex, explicitly rejects the notion that the union of the couple is what is being blessed and indicates that it is the persons of the couple that is being blessed. I was arguing this for days, and everybody says, Michael, you were wrong. It says couples. Clearly, it's the union that's being blessed. Well, as y'all know, Cardinal Fernandez just gave an interview, completely backed up what I said. Somebody asked him about my interpretation that I've been offering on this channel about the document. One interpretation that has been given to the declaration is that the blessings would be imparted on persons and not on their union specifically. Yes, that's what I've been saying endlessly since the document has been released. However, the document clearly speaks in its third part of blessing couples, right? That's what everybody has been throwing in my face. And I've responded to this by saying, the object of the blessing is the persons of the couple, not the union of the couple. Well, it is just that Cardinal Fernandez vindicated. It is necessary to distinguish well. Note that language, distinguishing, nuance. And the declaration makes this distinction. Couples are blessed. The union is not blessed. Notice how he juxtaposed couples with union. So whenever it says blessings of same-sex couples, that cannot be blessing of same-sex unions because couples and unions are being juxtaposed, right? So what does it mean to bless a couple? It means to bless two people. People. They might be in a disordered relationship, but the object of the blessing is not the disordered relationship. The union is not blessed. The object of the blessing is persons, which is exactly what the document says because it speaks of the blessing upon those who. Who, those, refers to persons, not unions. So this point alone shatters the entire purpose of Mueller's critique. Nothing else really even needs to be said. What Mueller should do is take this article, crumble it up, and throw it in the trash and start over. Because the fundamental thing by which his entire argument really hinges on has been destroyed by the document itself and by the confirmation that Fernandez gives about the document. Really, nothing else needs to be said about his article. I'll say a few other things, but really, that's kind of it. If you mess up on that, you're done. Everything else is, it doesn't matter what you say at this point. It's all irrelevant. Everything hinged on this. And if he's now wrong, and he is wrong, if he is wrong that somehow this magisterial document is fundamentally at odds with 2021, and again, he is wrong about that. Well, if he's wrong, then at that point, any remaining critiques would be ones that are accidental in nature, not substantial. And at that point, why are we even having this conversation? Because this is all just quibbling over accidental issues at that point. I think that's a death blow to his article. because it really all hinged on this, but let's continue. Let's see. He says, in point of fact, the last magisterial pronouncement on this matter was issued by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. I would also want to add that he's not right here whenever he attempts to juxtapose what Fiducia Supplicans is doing with the 2021 document of the CDF. You know why? The 2021 document of the CDF actually opens the door for what this document just did. A lot of people miss it. I've been trying to highlight it, but most people have missed it. Let me show it to you. Right here, 2 points. For the above mentioned reasons, the church does not have and cannot have the power to bless unions of persons of the same sex in the sense intended above. Words matter. That's an important qualification, because that suggests there might be other senses that could be approved. This one is excluded, but there might be others, because it qualified it as in the sense intended above. Oh, but wait, there's more. Not just that, but there's this whole other paragraph. This says, the answer to the proposed dubium does not preclude the blessings given to individual persons with homosexual inclinations. Full stop. That's what Fiducia Supplicans is doing. Yes, these two persons are in a disordered relationship, and therefore they identify as a couple. And thus the couple, as the subject requesting the blessing, asks for a blessing. Now, is it a couple as couple that is being blessed as a union? No, because the union is not being blessed. It is the persons who are being blessed. And you'll note right here, the proposed dubium does not preclude the blessings given to individual persons. So you see, the groundwork for this new document was already laid in the 2021 document, because it only restricted itself to excluding certain blessings in the sense intended above, but it still leaves the door open for other senses of blessings, which is exactly what this document does, building on it. And by the way, Fiducia Supplicans, in building on the 2021 document, it explicitly says it's doing just that. It straight up says, hey, we're not overturning the 2021 decision. We're reiterating that. We're further explaining it and further developing it. So far from the 2023 document violating the 2021 document, rather, it was the 2021 document that really gave rise to this current one. And not only that, but the need to refute the German bishops, because Fiducia Supplicans is a direct refutation of what the German bishops are doing. As Cardinal Fernandez himself notes in this article, with the pillar, this interview with the pillar. But there's more. Let me interact with a little bit more here. Mueller conflates blessings or blessing a couple with blessing a union all throughout the document. I want to give you a couple examples of this. Let's go to this part right here. Mueller says, the difficulty of blessing a union or couple is especially evident in the case of homosexuality. Well, again, the problem is he conflates the two. For him, a blessing of a couple is the blessing of a union. But however, for the actual document with paragraph 5 and paragraph 31, among others, they are not the same thing, and that is exactly what Fernandez clarified. Not that it needed to be clarified in the document, because it's clear in the document, but rather a clarification for the dissenters who caused a lot of confusion. Right here, he clarifies. Couples are blessed, the union is not blessed. Couple does not equal union. But in the mind of Mueller, couple equals union. That is part of the problem. What he is assuming is a position that makes no sense contextually with the 2023 document, the Fiducia Supplicans. Now, let me show you something else that he says here. He says, once again, it is not a question of blessing persons who live in a union that cannot be compared in any way to marriage, but of blessing the very union that cannot be compared to marriage. Well, once again, he was proven wrong by his successor. Couples are blessed. The union is not blessed. But you didn't have to wait for that interview. It was so clear here in paragraph 5, the very paragraph that Mueller does not address, which states the church does not have the power of blessing on unions of persons of the same sex. So you have to then say, well, it's just contradicting itself, which he attempts to say in the document, to which I would say that is being theologically lazy, because Muslims and atheists do this all the time with the Bible. They'll open up this passage and another passage of the Bible, and they say, see, it contradicts each other. And they're being lazy. Because if you just use any kind of critical thinking, you would see, okay, there is no fundamental disagreement here. Only an apparent contradiction, but no real contradiction. Likewise, even if you think there's an apparent contradiction, hey, I thought we were supposed to be using the hermeneutic of continuity. Why is Cardinal Mueller using and defaulting to a hermeneutic of rupture? This is lazy theology. If you think that there's a contradiction here, it's incumbent upon you as a Catholic to harmonize it, not assume rupture. Again, unless you want to be like the German liberals who rejected Humanae Vitae. Now, if you want to be like them, fine. But why ever could you ever critique them at that point if you're no different than them, if you're using the exact same method and approach that they're using? You're no better than them at that point. So, I would simply note, when he says, it's not an issue of blessing persons, the problem is the document attempts to bless the union. Well, again, paragraph 5 rejects that. Paragraph 31, the very place where you find the language of blessing couples of the same sex, refers to aspects where it says, these individuals are not trying to legitimize their union. They're not trying to legitimize anything right there. They do not claim a legitimization or legitimation of their own status. And the blessing descends from God upon those are persons. That describes persons. Not a what, not a union. A who? Just basic grammar here would tell us it is in reference to persons, not unions. Therefore, I don't understand how Cardinal Mueller could get so confused and butcher this in the way that he did. He says it is precisely for this purpose that a new kind of blessing is created, to create a blessing for the union. He's wrong. Not only is he wrong according to the document, he's wrong according to Fernandez. He's opposing the magisterium, the voice of Jesus Christ on earth. This is a rebellion against Christ's teaching authority. And we need to call it for what it is. And frankly, it's for no good reason, because it's quite easy to harmonize these things. Well, let's look at a few more points. Let me show you this part. The latter, in asking for a blessing implicitly or explicitly, seek to justify their relationship itself before God, without realizing that it is precisely their relationship that distances themselves from God. He's saying people who are in these same-sex unions, they're trying to justify their relationship by simply being in the relationship. So if they're in the union, they by default are trying to justify it. Now think about that for a second here. The claim is that a sinner is by default trying to justify their sin because they're in sin. Now, let me be nice here and just put it in a very gentle way. I think the good cardinal knows that this is not true, and he knows this from experience. I imagine the good cardinal has engaged in some sins before. I think we can guess what one of them is. Public dissent, maybe. Well, if one is in the sin of public dissent, just because they're in it, does it mean that they seek to justify that sin? Or would Cardinal Mueller say, well, sometimes I have sinned, but I don't always seek to justify that sin. Ah, so you're willing to grant that for yourself, but not for others. Why is that? Why is it that the good cardinal would admit that he has sinned before, but just by virtue of the fact of sinning doesn't necessarily mean that he's trying to justify the sin? He can distinguish between the two, right? But he can't do that for these people in the same-sex union. Well, I don't know, maybe it's news to some people, but there are people who are in same-sex unions who are trying to become free from sin. And it doesn't happen overnight. And you should be able to relate to that, because please tell me how many of y'all have stopped sinning overnight. When one of you can say, hey, yeah, that's me, I was able to stop sinning right overnight, immediately. All right, then maybe you can speak up here. But I think we all realize sin is something that we struggle with, and it's an ongoing process, and it takes time. And that which we want to do, we don't always do, right? Didn't even St. Paul talk about that? To assume that just because somebody is in a same-sex union, that they're trying to justify the relationship itself, is faulty. And again, the good cardinal knows this is not true by experience, with all due respect. As do we all. We all know this is not true by experience. We're all in the same boat here. So this does not logically follow. So I have to ask, why did he assume this? It seems like a very bad argument. Let's continue. He says, finally, it is claimed that there are positive elements in the relationship and that these can be blessed. Nope. The document never says that the object of the blessing is anything positive found in a same-sex union. That's what the German bishops are saying. That is not what Fiducia Supplicans says. Fiducia Supplicans is more nuanced than that. Fiducia says that the object of the blessing is the persons. However, a byproduct of that grace that is given through the blessing might be an enhancement of good found in that relationship, such as a friendship. Thus, the object of the blessing is not the good found in the union, but rather the object of the blessing is the persons. However, as a byproduct of that, an efficacy of grace in the person's life, certain aspects that are positive in a relationship can be enhanced. What might they be? A friendship. And they could be enhanced to a holy friendship. And the same context of Fiducia speaks of also a purification from anything that is sinful in that relationship, i.e., same-sex acts. So the blessing has a double effect. when the blessing is imparted on persons, it will help them stop sinning and then enhance also anything good found there, such as a friendship. Now, you see how that's much more qualified and nuanced than what Cardinal Mueller suggested. Cardinal Mueller, to reiterate, suggests it is claimed there are positive elements in the relationship and that these can be blessed. Show me where it says any positive elements is the object of the blessing. Show me that in Fiducia. It's not there. The only language that speaks of anything even close to this is an enhancement of these things, but the object of the blessing is not these things, it is the persons. And that's, again, manifestly clear by paragraph 31, among many others. I'm only focusing on these two because that's all I need. Paragraph 5, paragraph 31. I could read the whole document and show it from nearly every other paragraph as well. But I just focus on two because that's really all that's needed here. Okay, well, let's see. It's another thing to consider here. Let's go to this next part. In light of this, can a faithful Catholic accept the teaching of fiducia supplicans? Given the unity of deeds and words in the Christian faith, one can only accept that it is good to bless these unions, even in a pastoral way, if one believes that such unions are not objectively contrary to the law of God. Ergo, no, you can't accept FS because you would have to violate divine revelation, which he says fiducia supplicans is doing. So yes, he does explicitly, all throughout the document, reject the magisterial teaching of Christ's teaching authority on earth. He arrogates to himself a position of teacher over and against the teacher. Let me remind you that Cardinal Mueller exercises zero magisterial authority in the Catholic Church today. Zero. He and I have the same amount of magisterial authority. You know why? Because magisterial authority is attached to a diocese. He currently does not have a diocese. Neither do I. I'm not a bishop. He is. But you know what? Neither one of us have a diocese. Therefore, he currently exercises zero magisterial authority, just like you and I. He could, if perhaps there's an ecumenical council called in the future. Or perhaps a few other instances I could think of. But at the moment, he exercises zero magisterial authority. You know who does exercise magisterial authority today? The Pope, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, or the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith. So what you have here is Cardinal Mueller, who has zero magisterial authority in the church, sets himself up as a parallel magisterium over and against the actual magisterium of Jesus Christ. Again, according to Pius X, this is grave sin. And let me bring up one other part here. Here you go. He says, the teaching of fiducia supplicans is therefore self-contradictory and thus requires further clarification. Absurd. And this is just lazy theology. It is not self-contradictory. Do you really think Cardinal Fernandez is so stupid that he cannot see a self-contradiction in the document? Seriously? Do you really think Pope Francis is so stupid he can't see a contradiction there? And are you really suggesting the magisterium is contradicting itself in this very document? If that's your position, according to Dona Veritatis, he should be directing those concerns to the Holy Father directly and privately, as I already showed from paragraph 30 and 33 of Dona Veritatis. So even if that were true, this is not the place to do it. However, it's not even true. This is just lazy theology. And this is, once again, the hermeneutic of rupture that the cardinal has adopted, and I don't know why for the life of me, because it's actually pretty easy to harmonize these apparent contradictions that he thinks he sees here. They're not even that. But I'll certainly say there are much more difficult ones found in Scripture. And again, atheists and Muslims are all too happy to show us Christians where our Bible allegedly contradicts itself. And you know what we do? We seek to harmonize it. We approach it with a hermeneutic of continuity, do we not? Mm-hmm. Now, is that not what Benedict XVI taught us to do? Is that not what he taught Cardinal Mueller to do? Yes? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why isn't Cardinal Mueller doing that here? Why is he having to borrow from liberal German bishops who dissented against Humanae Vitae? Why is he borrowing from their hermeneutical approach and using it to fight against and wage war against Christ's teaching authority on earth? Again, as I've said, I think we've become that, you know, frog boiling in the pot image, where we have heard so many bishops and so many cardinals contradict and publicly express dissent against the magisterium that we think it's normal and we think that it's perfectly morally licit. Whereas in reality, it is a spiritual crime, according to the magisterium itself. It is a spiritual crime. There also could be some canonical repercussions associated with this. That will be up to the Holy Father on whether or not he wants to impose those. That's up to him. But even if those are not imposed, even if he allows the dissenters to continue to get away with their dissent, which so far he has. Well, at the end of the day, it's still a spiritual crime. And we shouldn't think that this is okay. Nor should we be sharing this on social media as if it is somehow something that we should participate in. This is hilarious, actually, if you look at it. This is slander against Cardinal Mueller. Really. You see the gaslighting here? Cardinal Mueller has slandered the Holy Father and the Magisterium. And whenever it is brought up that that's what he is doing, and I demonstrated it with the facts, instead of engaging the facts, the gaslighting continues. Oh, this is slander. This is slander against the Cardinal. Interesting, right? The gaslighting continues. Well, it doesn't work. I'll continue to say what needs to be said. And I certainly think that we need to speak up. Because there is a difference between speaking up against a cardinal who exercises zero magisterial authority versus dissent against the magisterium, right? Not the same thing. Expressing my concerns with Cardinal Mueller is 100% in line with everything in canon law and the magisterium. What Cardinal Mueller is doing, however, is 100% against what the magisterium has taught and is not backed up by canon law. Again, the key difference here is Cardinal Mueller exercises zero magisterial authority. Now, let's flip this around. If Cardinal Mueller were the Pope, and Cardinal Mueller were to teach something, at that point, he would be Pope Mueller, right? Or Pope, whatever he names himself as. Well, then critiquing him and his magisterial documents and magisterial teachings. Now, that would be wrong. But guess what? Mueller's not Pope. And Mueller doesn't even have a diocese. Therefore, Mueller has zero authority in the church today as far as magisterial authority. And thus, he is 100% subject to criticism by lay Catholics on YouTube. So, I'm not buying it. Anyways, thank you so much here at Truth Brigade for that super sticker. I really appreciate that. Sean Matthew, thank you for gifting those 5 memberships. Really appreciate it. That's pretty much it that I have. You know, he has other things that he says in the document, but like I said, there was really only one thing that needed to be refuted in the document, and that is whether or not fiducia supplicans is blessing unions or persons. The document and further clarifications both reveal he's wrong, and so he's wrong. He just, again, needs to take what he wrote, crumble it up, throw it in the trash, start over. Start from scratch. Everything else, irrelevant. Unless he can come up with something really substantial. And even then, guess what? He needs to present that to the proper authorities privately and directly. Not publicly. Not on social media. All right. Hey, hit that like button and the subscribe button. And definitely check me out, patreon.com/reasonandtheology, if you want to support me. I ask that you do so because I imagine there's some people who are not going to like this video. I imagine there's some people who are going to be very upset that I did this video. I imagine there's a lot of people who are going to want to cancel me. I imagine there's a lot of people who want to unsubscribe. But it needed to be said because Cardinal Mueller's article is being flaunted all over the internet to defy the magisterium of Jesus Christ and his teaching authority on earth. And that's not right. Something needs to be said. I've done my best to do it. Now, again, patreon.com/reasonandtheology, good place to support the channel, but also there's a GoFundMe and a PayPal link there in the show notes if you would rather support the channel through those outlets, through those means. But again, hit that subscribe button. Help me reach new people with this content that you appreciate at Reason and Theology. All right, y'all. This will probably be my last show until after Christmas. Just letting y'all know. You know, so I hope everybody has a good Christmas, unless something massively major happens. Yeah, I'm going to take a few days off. So Merry Christmas, everybody, and God bless you all. Let's pray. Let's pray a Hail Mary and then a Glory Be. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, both now and ever and unto the ages of ages. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Merry Christmas, y'all. See y'all soon. God bless. Bye-bye.